This is Tim Spicer, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 34 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show today is Marathon Michelle Scribner-McLean. Did I get that right,
Michelle? Oh, I like the sound of that. And after I run another one, you can call me Marathons Michelle Scribner-McLean. But I have a shout-out today, and the shout-out is for running team out there, and we had a meet, and a lot of the members of this running team came to say hello, and one of them said, can you give us a shout out? So I'm happy to do that. It is Team Studio Central, and that is part of studiocentral.com, and Matt Hochberg, who is not currently running but runs the team, he's on the WDW Today show, but we want Matt to run. We want all those Studio Central team, Studio Central people to get him to run the next 5K, but really nice group of people, and they're a growing team, so check them out. Very nice.
Also on the show is marathon veteran, seasoned veteran, and friend of the show, none other than Chris Eliopoulos. Chris, welcome to the show, you seasoned marathon veteran, you.
I know. I can actually say I'm a marathoner now. Like, I've run multiple, so...
Yeah, multiple marathon, and not like someone else on the show who's only run one.
Oh, come on.
Or someone else on the show who hasn't run any.
You know? next year.
Yeah, next year. So today we've invited Chris on to talk about, to help us discuss more of what happened over Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, the 20th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Marathon. And we're going to talk today about the 5K. We're going to talk a little bit about the half. We're hoping to have someone on, but we were not able to connect with that person. And, of course, the marathon. And just get Chris's perspective and sort of have a roundtable discussion on our experiences. So, Michelle, let's start off with the 5K.
I love the 5K. You know that. You were there too, Mike.
Yeah, I kind of did the 5K, and it was very interesting. In years past, the 5K has been a nice little race. But this year, it was not a nice little race. It was a nice big race because we had corrals. And to give people an idea as to how much the race has grown, there were four corrals. And last year, there was enough people to fill one of those corrals. So the race actually quadrupled in size.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was 10,000 people this year, and it was the 20th anniversary of the 5K as well as the full marathon, so it was really fun.
Yeah, I think it took 45 minutes for us to get everybody out of the corrals, and someone said that Corral D actually had two two starts. It was the first half and the second half. And I think the reason for the second half was because the second half had the strollers.
Yeah, it was. We were lucky enough to run with somebody who hadn't run before, and we actually walked this one because we knew we'd be doing a lot of running around, doing spectating for the half, and also me running the full. So it was really, it was a fun race.
One of the things I noticed, Michelle, I noticed this last year. I think last year was the first time I had done the 5K. And I noticed that, and I've described it as a walk in the park. And it is a walk in the park. It's a walk around the outside and the inside of Epcot. And truly, I don't believe it's possible to run at all during this race. I mean, it's almost a misnomer to call it a race. It's basically a brisk walk. Would you say the same?
Well, it's interesting in Disney has sort of migrated to, well, let's just talk about the corrals for a second. It used to be sort of the honor system. It would say if you run a 9-minute pace, stand here. If you run a 10-minute pace. Now it's solely by what time, when you signed up. So we were in Corral A, and we walked with somebody in Corral C, and there weren't many people checking the bib numbers, but I did see some people running, but there were so many more people in this race that we actually, to start the race, we were sort of in a Disney queue where we were going down and back and down and back before we even started the start line. So it was from the beginning, we were doing a lot of walking, and then, I don't know. I don't know that I definitely know some people ran, but there seemed to be a lot more families, a lot more kids, a lot more costumes. And I think it's called a fun run. And I think it's definitely, there's an emphasis on more on fun than on run.
Yeah, Chris, I was going to ask you if you ran, but I recall you didn't even get down there till Saturday, I believe, right?
Yeah, we flew down Friday night. Because of the kids, we wanted to keep them in school as much as possible. So kind of defeats the purpose of going down for the race if the kids are in school. So,
right. So one of the things I noticed, Mike, I don't know if you would agree with this, but there didn't seem to be as many characters in this 5K as I remember from last January's. Would you agree?
Yeah, and it sort of makes the word fun a misnomer for this race, because you would think that this race, more than the other two, would have more children, more preteens walking with dad and mom and everyone. And so you would think that there would have been maybe 4 or 5 or 6 places where you would come across some characters. We did come across several. I think we came across maybe 3.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, sometimes we miss them, but I don't remember a whole lot. But, you know, I did see a lot of families running and walking. At that point, we were already starting to talk about how hot it was. Even just walking the 5K, people were sweating. But it was fun. You know, I still think that for a lot of people, there are a lot of people doing couch to 5K. You get a really nice, it's not a medal, but it's a rubber sort of medal. It had all the characters on it, and it was really fun. I always enjoy it, and you get a fun T-shirt, and I think it's a great race. And we were running with a good friend of ours, and right afterwards she said, "Okay, I'm ready for the half." She wanted to do the half, so I still maintain that the 5K is the gateway drug to Disney races.
Yeah, it's the most important race of the whole entire weekend for Run Disney, because that's the race where they can introduce the enjoyment and fun of running in a Disney race to the youngsters, who in 30 years will be doing, you know, half marathons and full marathons. So I agree, Michelle. There's a reason why it's growing in popularity, and there's a reason why Disney is putting so much emphasis into it.
So do you think it's worth the $50?
No. I think it's probably worth maybe $30. Well, maybe 50, because the shirt's not too bad. I'd say maybe 50 would be pushing it. I mean, I wouldn't go beyond 50 because there's really nothing that they offer except you're paying for the rubber medal, whatever, and you're paying for the shirt, and that's about all you're getting. So I think, and the experience, I guess, of running through a Disney park early in the morning, and I saw a lot of children, a lot of teenagers just loving the idea of walking through Epcot before it opens. So that was kind of neat. But I think 50 is, I don't know, everybody listening, I don't know if I would do it if it goes beyond 50. Yeah. I don't think it's worth it. I really don't.
I still think it takes a lot of organization on Disney's part, and I think we're paying for that too. If you do other local 5Ks, you know, it's still very organized, and it was fun. I enjoyed it.
I don't know, Michelle, if there's a difference if there's a difference in the price if you have a different age, if you have someone under 9. But I'm thinking if Disney wants to continue to engage youngsters and get them involved in running, then they need to let the parents know that they're not out there to, you know, if you have a family of four, that's $200 to
run.
Right.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But still, I enjoyed it, and it was a great way to kick off the weekend. So should we move to the half?
Let's move to the half, where none of us did it, but we've done it before. And we can talk about the conditions, and we can talk about what the half involves. The half had approximately, just under 25,000 people. I'm just estimating that. I'm not sure exactly how many were there. But one of the nice things about the running of the half this that weekend was that everyone was done before it got really, really warm on that day.
Yeah, I think that was one of the nice things that Disney was warning people about the heat. And so a lot of people were able to finish before the sun came up or shortly after the sun came up. And we know a lot of very new runners who are just running their first half. And, you know, we talked about cheering on another show, cheering the half. It was a great, really nice day, really great day.
I was going to ask Chris. Chris, have you ever thought about doing a half? Have you ever done a half marathon?
Yeah. I've done a couple of them so far. The last year when I went to go run, I did the full. I went straight to the full. And so I was too chicken to do the goofy. I'm contemplating next year doing the goofy, but I'd like to see the difference. My wife keeps telling me, because she's done it a number of times, that it's a lot more fun than the marathon itself, just because you know you're doing a shorter distance and you can actually enjoy the characters and all that kind of stuff. Whereas with the marathon, you're just like, I gotta get done.
Well, yeah. You know, as somebody who was a new runner starting half marathons, I definitely felt I gotta get done for my first few half marathons.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's just what you're used to and what you're comfortable with. But the heat was definitely a factor. And we know a lot of people who it took longer for that half marathon than they expected to.
Well, didn't he? I mean, not to rain on anybody's parade, but I did read that somebody did pass away just at the end of the race.
Yeah, I think that was I saw a lot of people posting that. That was actually, it happened in 2006.
Oh, so it's an old one.
Yeah, it's an old one. Yeah.
Were saying like some kind of golf pro or something like that.
Yeah, it was 2006. Yep. There were a lot of rumors going around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But we know Joey Fatone from NSYNC was there running the goofy. So you may have run by Joey Fatone, who lives in Orlando, I think. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what your wife Audra said is correct. I think if you know you're doing the goofy, Chris, and that first day, it's a case where you're not worried about time. You're worried about having fun. You're worried about not getting hurt, and there's not that much pressure on you as you would normally have if you depending upon how much pressure you put on yourself to do a race. But the half after doing a 26.2, 13.1 sounds like it's just a cakewalk, and it is fun. Michelle and I have never done the goofy. We did the half and the marathon relay, and so we had to learn how to run on tired legs, and we had to learn recovery techniques, and that's one of the things that has to be learned when you're doing the goofy.
Right.
But I can't imagine doing 26.2 after doing 13.1. And I guess the key would be also the weather factor. I mean, I just have so much, regard for those, or I don't know if you call it regard, or I don't know what you call it, but for those who did, I mean, I'm thinking about the heat and how smart or how not smart it was to do both days. Of course, you never know what the heat is, but imagine doing those two races back to back on a warm weekend like we had.
Well, I still have to give props for a lot of our friends who trained really hard for the first half, and I think this was a tough first half because it was so warm. And we're veterans of longer runs now, but we can't forget those people. This is a huge deal. And we have some very good friends who struggled, did their best. Some of them made it, some of them did not. It was a tough race. I wouldn't say that this is indicative of every half that I did in terms of, it was just so warm that it was tricky.
I have a question for both of you. I can't answer this question, but both of you can answer it. So here's the question. Is it a bigger jump to go from 5K to a half marathon, or is it a bigger jump to go from a half to a full?
Michelle?
Well, actually, Mike and I kind of had this conversation. I think it's actually a bigger jump to go from a 5K to a half. And here's my reasoning. When you train for a half, you have to do really long runs. You need to learn about nutrition and hydration. And those same things come into play when you do a full. You sort of have the same things that you're working on. It's just more a longer distance and more hydration and more nutrition. I think many of us could do a 5K without having anything to drink and anything to eat. When you do a half, you have to get off your feet the day before, just like you do with a full. The recovery is similar. So I think just because it's such a long distance, that it's, even though it's double going from a half to a full, that you're kind of developing habits and developing a knowledge base when you train for the half that you carry on into the full.
What say ye, Mr. E?
See, it's weird. I'm thinking the opposite. Hmm. For me anyway. I was really good training wise for the last 2 years, up to about 16, 17 miles. I would always seem to sort of hit some kind of wall, whether it was legs cramping up or exhaustion or what have you. And I had to learn how to, take some goo or make sure that I had water with me. Or I've been doing this. I found out about these electrolyte pills, which have helped with the cramping.
Oh, yeah. I saw you had those.
Yeah.
Before we started.
And they seem to help. We were down at Disney World in late August, and we got home on a Saturday, and we actually had scheduled a half marathon on Sunday. So we did basically no real, we ran while we were down there, but nothing, like we didn't run, 8-9 miles. We were walking a lot, but I came in and, I ran that half marathon. I think I was running like at a 10.5 minute pace, throughout. I felt pretty strong. It's when I hit these big long marathons, I felt like it's a whole other beast for me.
Yeah. For what it's worth, although I haven't run a marathon, I think I would say that the marathon is the bigger jump, and the only reason why I think that is because of the training that's involved, the commitment to the training. You can train for a half marathon far easier than training for a full. And you know this, Michelle, you've actually seen it over the last year, how much time and how much preparation it takes to train for a full as opposed to a half marathon.
But I think if you're training for your first half, it still takes that time and preparation. You're learning it. So.
Well, you are, but you're not committing so many hours for a training run as you would for a full.
Yeah. Please, I didn't know what to do with myself today. I didn't have to be out of the house for 4.5 hours. I was like, wow, what are we doing today? I got time. Let's go. So,
moving on to the marathon, have we finished the half? Any other?
I think we have.
I was going to ask Chris, you ran last year and you ran this year. Can you compare the two years and the differences that you noticed?
Yeah. Well, the main difference that everybody will notice right away was the change of course. They added a run through the racetrack, the NASCAR track, and then they added a meandering romp through a wild world of sports. And what's interesting is I liked it better than last year because of the variety. Basically, they took out some of the running on a big giant highway for a bunch of miles and threw in some, some sights and stuff, something different. But the people that I talked to that it was their first marathon were kind of disappointed with, especially with the wild world of sports. They felt it was just sort of like running around in circles in there. And they didn't really appreciate it. But like as the guy that was running, on a blacktop for 8 miles, kind of looking around going, this is it. And there was nobody out there. You would get sporadic people. So to me, I felt like it was better, even though it was sort of like a weird kind of, you were literally running on the sidewalks at you know, wild world of sports. The racetrack was kind of cool in that they, instead of just running around the track, they actually had like vintage, you know, souped up cars that were there. So you had some stuff to look at. I mean, it was funny because the people had the cars were looking like we were as nuts as we were looking at them thinking they were nuts.
That's true. Yeah, I actually enjoyed that. And one of the things that I was worried about, and I know nothing about race car driving, but I thought that there would be a big pitch on the road. And I thought, am I going to be limping by the time I get out of there? And I guess there's the inner circle that we ran on that was flat is probably for the pit crews. Do you know anything about racing? I don't know.
Right, yeah.
And so we ended up coming in on one side and running almost the whole way around the track. And I thought it was really fun. They had Sheryl Crow, you know, real gone. The Cars music was on. And they had some of the people were really, you know, 1950s cars dressed up in poodle skirts. But they did look at us. They were kind of sitting in lawn chairs looking at us as we were running by. But I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I had heard the same thing that you heard about that. I guess there was a long switchback. And I really enjoyed running through the wide world of sports. It kind of made the time go because we were running in so many different places. And I liked running on the racetrack. I heard people groaning with satisfaction, like, oh, this feels so good, because it was one of those recycled rubber tire racetracks at the
You mean in the stadium? You mean,
yeah, in the world of sports. Not the car racetrack. That felt really stadium. Good. What I didn't like is running through the outfield of the ball field. As much as I love baseball and I thought that was cool, every time I do that, I get gravel in my shoes. I actually had to stop later on because I had gravel in my shoes.
Yeah, everybody was complaining about that one. Everybody around me was sort of like, oh, man, what is it? What are we running on? You know, it reminded me of that half that I did in the summer. It ran – 2 of the miles ran through the woods or something like that. It was sort of like an off-road thing, and because it was just rocks and stuff, and everybody was moaning about it. But it was the same thing here. Everybody was sort of kind of annoyed with the, you know, the warning track dirt and stuff. So
yeah, I don't know, but it was neat to run. But one of the things, Mike, that I didn't realize, and this happened also I think for the Tower 10 miler, because we ran through there, is that you could cheer there, but I don't know if that was part of the cheer package. There were some people there, but there weren't a lot. I didn't think there were a lot, Chris, did you?
In a lot of those locations, there weren't a lot of people. It seemed to be, you know, obviously in the parks, and which normally, like, I mean, how many people are going to be able to get, like, there were some folks from Team All Ears, like at mile 16, which is out in the middle of nowhere. And you've got to think, how did they get out there, you know, because everything was blocked off up to that point. So I'm sure there's the logistics of getting around and getting to certain spots to be ready to cheer.
I don't know. I don't know how those people were there. But I think, Mike, we should talk about the big hype,
spectacular
extravaganza at mile 20.
Drum that roll. Was awesome.
So I don't know what I expected. I was trying not to expect much, but what it ended up being was some puppets from I think I saw Lumiere and Mike Wazowski, and I can't remember who else.
The crab. What was the? What's?
Sebastian the crab.
Sebastian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was a stage area with Mickey, Minnie, and
Goofy.
Goofy, and then there was an arch that had all sort of a graphic of all the 20 medals from 20 years, and that was it. So
yeah, everybody kind of made it out. They're up something big at mile 20. Look out, look out. I mean, the when you say puppets too, like I think that kind of downplays a little bit.
Yeah,
they were huge two-story puppets that these people, you know, that contraptions that these guys were controlling. And I mean, they were pretty impressive looking from a distance.
Yeah, they were kind of like the ones that are in Mickey's Jingle Jungle Parade at Animal Kingdom. Some of the ones that they use. And they were impressive, but I don't know. It didn't – I mean, on the one hand, I remember running at mile 15, mile 16, and it was sort of the carrot that was out there. Oh, what's going to happen at mile 20? So it was nice to know that something was going to happen at mile 20. Mm. But then afterwards, it was like, you know, If they hadn't mentioned anything, we all would have said, "Oh, that's really cute. That's fun."
Yeah, yeah. But it was definitely a sort of like, "Oh, that's cool. Let's keep going. Next, you know, moving on." So. Yeah.
One of the things that I was wondering, Chris, as a marathon newbie, I mean, I know we've talked about the weather over and over again. My time was a lot longer than mm-hmm. I thought. What did you think? Like, how do you think the weather impacted your race?
Yeah, it slowed me down too. What happened was I'm trying to figure out whenever I run, I never have a problem. I don't know. You're the scientist. The muscle right above your knee, I guess it's your quad, but you know, that big muscle right on the inside of your leg on above your knee. I've never had a problem with them. And the only two times I've ever had them cramp up have been in the last 2 years at the marathon. And I wasn't sure if it was because there tends to be more of an uphill climb to a lot of the race, or was it the heat? I mean, I was drinking water like a fish. I was taking I was taking those pills. I was drinking the Powerade at every station. I was not taking a chance. And I still got hit with it, and it slowed me down. And I don't know if it was the heat or not. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing. I drank and drank. I had bottles. I was having them fill them up. I didn't have any cramps, but I know I was running with somebody who had leg cramps that he normally didn't have before. I don't know. I just felt warm from the. I mean, Chris and I were in the same corral, which was very fun to to have somebody that you know there, with two other people. And we're in short sleeves, and I felt warm before we even started.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I was sweating, but I felt warm before we even started. But I don't
it was
know.
Comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I described the sun coming up as sort of like a time bomb. Like, okay,
yeah.
It's warm now, but I see the sun coming up, and when that happens, all bets are off. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. I think I saw a stat where they said out of the how many people 25,000 people ran this one.
Well, I think there were about just over 20,000 starters. There were 25 signed up. So.
And I read somewhere they said 4,500 didn't finish.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Which, is probably indicative of the weather as well. I wanted to also mention the fact that we were talking about the mile 20 and we were talking about the wild world of sports. A friend of mine, Nate, who works with me, ran with us, and he's a much younger guy than us and a better trained guy than us. And so for him, it was like I think he finished in 4 hours. I mean, he's a monster. And he claimed to me, and I didn't see it, but he said to me, there was a small portion of a switchback right when you are going into Wild World of Sports and coming out. He said he saw a lot of people jumping those cones and going and skipping those 3 or 4 miles in there.
Really?
That's what he said. He goes, he was really disappointed. He said a lot of people were jumping the cones and going the other direction.
Yeah, but usually the way Disney prevents that is that there's a timing mat.
Right, there was. And there was one inside of the stadium. So, there's no way that they can catch them at the finish line to get their medals, right? They can't just say, wait, we caught you. You didn't do that section in there, so I guess they would have gotten their medals.
Yeah, but then no official time.
No official time.
So what you're saying is, like, I think we were going into Wide World of Sports at about mile 18, and coming out it was about mile 21. There's about 3 miles in Wide World of Sports, and we were passing those people who were coming out, so they went over the other way. They just went over the cones.
Right. So, I mean, there was nothing there. It was just a cone. It wasn't we were passing them, and. What I saw too on coming back that way after I'd run through and I was coming out at around, I don't know, mile 21, I would guess, there was a woman flat down on the ground. And I thought it was the heat. She talked to me. I found out online on Facebook. She said that she was actually a pacer and she tripped over the cone and got a concussion and a black eye for her effort. But she actually said she got up and finished the race.
Wow.
Which is amazing to me. But, I my first thought was the heat. I figured, this is starting to get people. I mean, they were handing out wet sponges. People were pouring cups of water down their shirts and over their heads and stuff. So, it was definitely once that sun came up, it was hitting people.
Yeah. So when the sponges is something that I don't remember. I don't think they did it during the marathon relay last year. But when I took the sponge, what was that about, like mile 18, 20? It was before I think we got into ESPN.
Yeah.
And So I decided I'm going to wipe off my face. And it was like I had a mask of salt on my face. Like I had to crack through it to get to my skin. It was really interesting. But I took one and kind of just did my arms. But that it was incredible. Did you think there was enough goo?
You know what? I remembered what they did last year. They didn't start handing it out until – right, mile 15 or something. When did they start?
14.
And I remember that from last year, and I've sort of developed in my training, which I guess is the good part of this whole thing, is when you train, you learn what your body is capable of and what it needs and stuff. And I always run now at every mile I take a sip of water. At every 5 miles I take a goo, and I take one of those pills. And I'm good. Like I don't get cramps. I get the energy and I keep going. So I came prepared. I actually had stuff with me, you know, in my pouch to go. A lot of people I saw had it as well, but yeah, I think they give it to you a little too late.
Yeah, I agree. Oh. I mean, I had 6 or 7 goos, and I take one every half an hour, and, I was worried that I was going to run out because I thought it would be sooner. Because I remember in the half, they usually give it to you at mile 9. But for the full, they didn't give it till mile 14. And it seemed like I wanted to take 2, and they were kind of giving me a little attitude. Like, okay, if you want to take 2. But they were giving up bananas and then 2 different times. And then in the studios, chocolate. Okay. Although, I don't know. It just is like, ugh.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, I grabbed a crackle and said thanks, and I was out of there. I the candy wasn't going to really do much for me at that point, but
yeah.
It's a cute little gesture, and it's sort of like that final little sugar rush to get you to the finish. So,
yeah. What did you think about the cheerers? Did there seem like a lot of people? Did you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like I said, you catch it in certain areas. Like obviously at the parks, you catch a lot of the people cheering. And what, like I said, what I thought made it a little bit better was the fact that like last year there was like an 8 or 9 mile stretch where you were just running like open roads and there was nobody out there. You know, they have a band every 6 miles or something like that, but then it was just nothing. You know, so at least we had a little bit more play and there were people around and. It just amazed me that there, especially in that heat, that there were so many people out there cheering, when God knows that, they must have been sitting there baking all day.
And did you think there were enough water stops?
Yeah, I thought there were plenty. You know, it was sort of like every time I thought, bad, I need some water, I need some power, boom, they were right there. So
yeah, I wonder if they stepped it up for the race because it was so hot.
Yeah, they were getting – I mean, it's obviously they were warning everybody ahead of time, drink a lot of water, be ready, be careful. And I think maybe that's what they did was sort of really be cautious and not – they didn't want to see people going down left and right. So and it was weird because it used to be, at least last year, I thought I remember it being like there would be a water station and then there would be a power station at some point. And now it seemed like they had both at the same station.
Yeah, that's what I remember. What do you remember, Mike? I seem to remember them always having both.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you, Chris. What did you think about the medal compared to last year's medal?
I made my poor wife so jealous.
And you should maybe, could you tell what happened to her?
Yes. Yeah, so my wife, who actually got me literally on the road with this running thing, she's been running for a number of years, and she was the first one to do the Disney Marathon. We decided that we were going to go down. I signed her up because she was talking about it, surprised her, and I signed her up.
You signed her up as a surprise?
The first time. She kept saying she wanted to go. She wanted to do it. She was hemming and hawing, and I just said, look, I'm doing it. And I signed her up for it and said, well, I handed her the paper, and I said, now you're registered. You better prepare. So she was committed and she went, and she's done the Goofy the last 2 years and was planning to do the Goofy this year, all signed up. And about a month before the race, we were going out for our last big 22-mile practice run. And about 3 miles out, she stepped on a rock, twisted her ankle, and broke or fractured her ankle. And so And I think I sent you both a text, you know, saying, God, you know, I we're in the hospital. You know, she hurt her ankle and then literally came back from x-ray. And I think I said an expletive in the message saying she broke it. And so she was out, and then it was a lot. I mean, she was crying. She was depressed. I mean, you know, we trained 10 months for this thing, and it was a hard pill to swallow. And, you know, she was on crutches, and she was telling me she wasn't going to go. Like, that's it. I can't go and watch all these people run and not be able to do it. And but eventually, like I said, well, I told her I couldn't do it without her, so I was going to stay home. And then she's like, no, fine. And then she eventually agreed, and she came and was waiting for me at mile 24 when you come around into Epcot in the back. And she was waiting there right in the UK, and gave me a big hug and wouldn't let me go, and said she was actually a lot more impressed with people being on the sidelines and watching, because this is the first time she actually watched the race, and said she was very impressed with so many, you know, strong people giving their best and running. So it was I think it was a learning thing for both of us. I was able to run without her, and she was able to see it in a new way. So but we deferred, and she's going to be doing the Goofy next year, and I'm thinking of joining her. So
oh, that's cool. So what did she think when she saw the medal? Because if you haven't seen the medal is this gigantic piece of what I don't know how much. I think it weighs probably 5 times more than the original marathon medal, and it spins. It's got it's round, and it has a circular thing that spins, and then a Mickey head that spins.
Right, and little slogans, you know, like it was started by a mouse, and
Walt Disney sings on this one of the spinning parts. So.
So now it sits on the hood of my car. I put it on instead of the car symbol. I put that on the front. And I drive around town like that. But yeah, she was just like, "Look at that thing! That thing is amazing!" Like it was. She, that was the one bad thing. She's like, "I'm not gonna have that." Like, you know, and that was. I said, you know, it's a family medal. We'll just put them all together and count it as a family thing. But this one was impressive. I don't know how they're going to top this one.
And one thing I noticed about the medal is that it's very pointy on the bottom, and I was wondering if it was going to get through TSA. So I actually packed mine, and I noticed a lot of people getting on the plane to go home who had them and got through with no problem. So Disney must work with the TSA, but it looked like you could impale somebody with the point on the bottom.
I saw people wearing them in the airport.
On the plane. Definitely. So, Mike, you have any other questions about the full?
I think you've pretty much covered it. I think I'd like to finish off the show asking both of you, Michelle, I'll start off with you. If you could make one change for that Sunday, if you were Dick, why do I always say Dick? If you were John Hughes and you were the race director, what changes would you make?
Well, I wouldn't want to be in the corral again with Chris Eliopoulos. No, oh, I'm just kidding. No, I think there's nothing that could change the thing that most of us would change, which is the temperature. I know he's not in charge of the spectacular 20-mile thing. That wasn't all that great, but the temperature, I think, would have made the difference for a lot of people. But still, I would do it again. I would definitely do it again. I enjoyed myself. It's been wonderful this whole week, just sort of reflecting on my training, you know, all that I did to get to that point. And it's not a task to be taken lightly. It's something that you really need to do a lot of training for. And I feel very proud of myself and all my friends, including Chris, who did this. Nothing that I would change. I would like to do that course again myself.
Chris, what about you? You've seen two different courses, so maybe you might have a different insight on this.
Well, I liked the newer course again, just for the sake of variety. But the thing which has troubled me the both times, and it seemed like it was just as bad this year, was the sheer amount of people they allow to run. I know, you know, it's a big money maker, and you know, it's a big thing, but. God, you know, 25,000, you know, people or whatever the amount is trying to run is just staggering, and it's just so hard at times. Like you know, again, a lot of, as we talked about the etiquette rules, there were so many people that would walk, you know, 3, 4, 5 abreast, and there were spots where there was not a lot of room to get around them, and it just seemed like there was just so many people. I wish they would scale it back in terms of how many people they allow to run.
See, now that didn't bother me. Maybe I'm just getting used to Disney races, but it didn't really bother me this time. I don't know.
Yeah. I picked that ball like the, you know, it's funny, you don't realize it as much until you, I mean, I did, but I got like the video from, you know, you can buy like pictures and video from the event. And I was looking at the finish line and just seeing like, it just this cattle herd, you know, coming into the finish line, and you're just like, wow, there are so many people. And this was like a half a minute clip, and there were just so many people coming through, and it just was insane.
You mean when you finished?
Yeah, you know, like they give you the video, and like I'm looking, and I remember at the time I tended to kind of migrate away off to the right or get as far from the crowds or from other people, just because I just don't like the idea of so many people just around you and on you. And so it's funny, there's so many people, and then there's little me on the other side, like with nobody around. Mm-hmm. But it was just like pandemonium on one side, and then little Chris on the other side. But yeah, it was maybe it's me. I just felt like there was just so many people running. It was just, you know, even the beginning starting off, there was just everybody was on top of you, and
yeah, and the corrals definitely.
Yeah. So
have you run any other marathons? It's just two Disney marathons, not just, but two Disney marathons that you've done.
Right. I've done, like I said, I did some half marathons, and that they tended to be obviously a little bit more open. They're not as big events as this, but, you know, it, at the end of the day, you're choosing this when you go there. You know that it's going to be that many people, but, you know, that's just me. It's, you know, again, we always talk about this with every aspect of Disney. Things tend to get really big and huge, and then they start to say, well, let's make more money by cutting things back. And so you wonder if, like, you know, they're going to add more people and cut back on the, you know, the characters or the whatever else they got going on. So I worry.
Yeah. At what point is it going to be enough? Have they hit that point yet?
Yeah.
You make a good point, though, Chris. I think that no matter how hard you train, if you're training, and for a lot of people, their first half marathon, first 5K, first half marathon, first marathon is usually a Disney-sponsored race. And no matter how hard you train, no matter how many hours you put out there, you can't train for a crowd. And I think that that's something that everybody is hit with as soon as they get to the corrals. Actually, as soon as they get to the gathering area, they begin to get an idea, well, this is going to be a little bit more crowded than I expected. So it's something that we all put up with. And that's why running a Disney race is for fun and for the experience and not for PR.
Right. I agree with that.
Okay. So I think we're done. And I think that's been a very thorough show. Chris, we want to thank you for coming on and talking about your experience, you seasoned veteran, you.
Yay, look out, Chris.
And, Michelle, again, congratulations. Oh, you too, Chris, congratulations, and happy training. And for those of you who are looking forward to training for next year, there's no better time than the present to get out there and start planning on what you want to do and your training. So good luck. And so for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa. We will see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray, saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.